Okay, we're picking up from the second line of Chaf Hey Amud Aleph, the very last word. We're on B'yom Tov Huta Aser. So just again, we were mentioning yesterday how on Yontav it's Aser to burn Kachim. That's what we said. I mean, we had four, I think, different drushes about where we derived that, but everyone agrees that you're not allowed to burn Kachim on Yontav. So now the Gemara has the following diuk about, we called Truma, we called it under the category of Kachim for this purpose, so the Gemara has the following diuk, the following analysis. It sounds like from the Mishnah, B'yom Tov Huda Aser, that only on Yontav it's forbidden to light with Truma, that oil that's Tameha, B'chol Shaper Dami, but on an ordinary day, when, if you wanted to burn and derive benefit from the burning, by using it, let's say, to light up your house, to learn Truma Tameha, to burn it and light up your house, that would be permissible. So Gemara asks, my time, what's the reason someone's allowed to benefit from the burning of Truma if it has to be burnt? So Tosfos is bothered by this question of the Gemara. What do you mean? If we don't see an Isser Hana in the Torah, the Torah doesn't tell you that it's Usser to have benefit from the Truma Tameh, so why would you assume that it is Usser to benefit? Why do you have to explain to me why it should be Mutter? So Tosfos has a whole complicated cheshbon. He basically says that Bikurim are compared to Meiser Sheni. Right? So firstly, no, before that, Truma is compared to Bikurim, according to Tosfos, and then Bikurim are compared to Meiser Sheni, and so just as, and in Meiser Sheni, we know someone who is not allowed to benefit from Meiser Sheni that became Tame, that's a Beferish Apostolic in Dvarim, so then we would assume also that it would be Usar to benefit from Truma, that's the whole complicated Tosfos' Cheshbon, but either way, the Gemara asks, where do we know that it's Mutter to benefit from Truma oil that was Tame? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav, Kishem Shemitza Lisof HaKachim Shenitma, just as there's an obligation to burn Kodesh, right? Offerings that became Tamei after they were Shechted, Kach Mitza Lisof HaChuma Shenitma. So there's an obligation to burn Truma Tamei, Ve'amra Torah B'shaz Bruah Tehamimena. And the Torah tells you that you're allowed to have benefit from it when you burn it. So the Mara is immediately going to ask, where does the Torah tell you this? Heichad Amra Torah, where does the Torah tell you you're allowed to have benefit from Truma Tamei when Truma is being burnt? So the Gemara says the following, Midir Rav Nachman, it's derived from Rav Nachman, Am Rav Nachman, Am Rabba Ravu, Am Akra, Vani, Hine, Nasati Lecha, Es Mishmeres, Trumasi. The Pasuk talking about Truma says, Hashem said to Aaron, I gave you to safeguard my Truma offerings, Bishtei Truma, Sakasu Medaber. Now the Gemara learns out that we're discussing two different Trumas. Trumasi, Trumasai is written in the plural that indicates we're talking about two different things. So what are these two things? Achas Truma Tahora, v'achas Truma Tameh. One is the Truma that is Tahor, and one is Truma that is Tameh. And we say, v'amrachmana lecha. The lashon of the Torah is that the Torah over here is telling you the lashon that it's given to you. So what is to you meant? So the Gemara's drush is, shalcha te'elasakla hasika tachas tashilcha. That is for you to be burned under your pot, meaning you're allowed to have benefit from it, you're allowed to use it for your cooking purposes, or to learn it, to use it for deriving benefit from the light of it would be mutter as well. That's the Gemara's drush over here. The Gemara has now a second drush of vibais ema medib rabbi abau. Maybe we can derive it from the following statement of Rabbi Abau. The Rabbi Abau used to say the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and the following, v'lo bi'arti mimenu betam. So, to give a little hakdama over here, there was a concept of vidui maestros. So, on years, we said before that there's always truma gedola. Truma, you give 2% to a kohen. After that, so you have 100 apples. You give 2 apples to the kohen. Then you have 98 apples, and you give, let's just round off, you give 10 more apples as maestro rishon to the levi. That was given to the levi. So now you're left with 88 apples. So of that, and you have to take another 10%. Let's just round up again to make things easier. Take off 9, and you'd be left with 79 apples. The second 9 that you take off is Meister Sheni. That's considered the second one, because you took it off after you've done the previous process. So where does that go? So on years 1, 2, 4, and 5 of the Shemitah cycle, you what's called Meister Sheni. Meister Sheni is that it's yours, you just bring it to your Shalayim, and you eat it over there. That is years 1, 2, 4, 5. How about years 3 and 6? So years 3 and 6, it's Meiser Ani. You give it to a poor person. So now the Torah also tells you at the end of years 1, 2, and 3, and also after year 6, meaning after years 3 of the Shemitah cycle and years 6 of the Shemitah cycle, I believe that's right, that's when you do Vidoy Meiser. Vidoy Meiser is confessing of the Meiser, and ideally the Rambam writes that you should be doing this in the Beis HaMikdash, but he says, b'dieved, you could do it anywhere. Okay, so that's Vidui Meiser. So the pasuk about Vidui Meiser says, v'lo bi'arti mimenu betamei, and you're confessing, and you say, I didn't eat it in a state of Tumah. It's very interesting, just Agav mentioned, that the whole Vidui Meiser is, I didn't eat in a state of Tumah, I didn't eat it betamei, I didn't have it, give it to me, and I listened to Hashem, and everything you did, I listened to. So the people, the Achronim, are bothered by this. Where in the world is there a vidui over there? What confession over there? What does it mean to confess? So, two pshatim is to quickly give that the Malbim says that it doesn't mean, it generally translates confession. He doesn't say it means confession. He says it means acknowledgement. To acknowledge what is going on. Here you're acknowledging, the Rav took this a little further. He takes his Malbim and he says, it means that you're acknowledging what you did. And in order to do tshuva, a lot of times you have to acknowledge what you're doing right to acknowledge what you're doing wrong. It is part of a confession. A lot of times a person has to know where he's holding. Where am I standing? You have to realize what's going on in your life. What am I doing right? What are you doing right? And try to strengthen those things that you do right. The Mesillas Yesharim used to say, that he's not the Mesillas Yesharim says that you have to be careful about mitzvahs. So the commentators on Mesillas Yesharim said that they used to say they're not afraid of the averus to do it. It says that the pasuk says there's no person in the world who does something wrong and doesn't do a sin, right? I'm afraid the mitzvahs. Why didn't I do them more carefully? Hashem gave me a mitzvah. I put on tefillin. I just do it half sleeping. Why didn't I do it more carefully? Why didn't I daven more properly? Why didn't I, whatever it might be. Okay, so these are all agav points to realize where you were, and that's all that's the idea of vidya. Meister just one. I guess one other pshat. This four. Says a pshat in Vidya Meiser is there really is a confession over here because we're acknowledging the fact that who was supposed to do the avodah of the Beis HaMikdash? This was supposed to be done by the Bechorim. The Bechorim were the ones who were chosen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, when they did a Chet HaEgel, they lost that opportunity, so that we're doing a Vidoy, that's the confession over here as a tikkun for the Bechorim, and there really is mentioning Chet HaEgel, so there is a confession to be done. Okay, either way, that's what you do. You do the Vidoy Meisters, explain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you did everything right, and you listen to what he did. So now the Gemara is a drush on Velo Be'arti Me'na B'Tameh, that why I didn't consume it in the state of being Tuma, in the state of being Tame. So the Gemara says, Mimenu Ia Tamavir, that implies that the Meiser Sheni you can't consume when it's Tame. Aval Atamavir, meaning you can't burn it, this is what we're learning out. Atamavir Shaman Shachuma means, however, you're consuming it by burning the oil of Chuma that's Tamea, and Mavir over here is we're using Lashon of burning, that you're allowed to burn it and have benefit from it. That's what Gemara says. Now the Gemara asks though, on this drasha, Ve'eva Mimenu Atamavir, Atamavir Shaman Shal Kodesh Nitma, but why is the drasha that we have the deal, the Basak of Mimenu, is a mute. It's coming to exclude something. So it could exclude Truma or it could exclude Kachin. So the Gemara is saying, why are you assuming that it's excluding Truma, that you're allowed to burn Truma and have benefit from it? Maybe it's excluding Kodesh. So the Gemara says, maybe it's coming to exclude that I'm allowed to burn Kodesh. Let's say I had Kodesh oil that became Tameh. I'm allowed to burn it and have Hana. I'm allowed to have benefit from it. So Gemara says, what do you mean? Why? How could I have learned that? Lav Kal Vachomer, it wouldn't have been a Kal Vachomer that's going to refute your argument. What's the Kal Vachomer? Ma Meiser Akal. When it comes to Meiser, which is less holy, right? It's not an offering. It's not. You don't bring it as a korban, and you're allowed to eat it anywhere in Yerushalayim. So Amra Torah Lo Be'arti Me'na B'Tameh. The Torah still tells you that you didn't have it in a state of Tuma, Kodesh Chamer, Kodesh, right? Oil, which was consecrated to the base of Mindash, Lakoshik, and then obviously, which is, it's more chash and more holy, then obviously logic would dictate that what? That it is obviously going to tell you that you're not allowed to derive benefit from it in a state of Tuma. So the Gemara says, but if you're using the Kal Vachomer to refute the Drasha, we had a Drasha. Mimenu was telling you, Mimenu was telling you that an exclusion. So then why don't you say the same Kasha, Yachi Truma Name, Leisa of Kal Vachomer. Truma is also more holy and more Chamor, more strict than Meiser Sheni. So why can you learn Meiser Sheni as a Kal Vachomer from Meiser Sheni and refute it with the Truma also? You're not allowed to burn Truma, just like you wouldn't be allowed to burn Meiser Sheni, if that's your whole logic. So the Gemara says, but at the end of the day though, Haksiv Mimenu, at the end of the day we had this pasuk that has this exclusion. It says the Lashon of Mimenu, which is coming to exclude something, so we're assuming it was excluding Truma. So the Gemara asks though, why do you have to assume this? So basically we come to the conclusion. There's excluded in the words Mimenu. Mimenu is coming to exclude something. That you're allowed to burn something that became Tameh. Either Kodesh, either sanctified oil, or you're allowed to burn Truma on the other side. So the Gemara asks, Umar Isla, what do you see over here to conclude that it's excluding Truma and not Kodesh, not consecrated items? Maybe you should assume it should be excluding Kodesh, that if you had oil that was Tame, you're allowed to burn it. So and you have Hana and have benefit from that burning. So the Gemara says, Mistabra Kodesh Lomaitina. No, I would assume that we have an open drasha over here, and I'm not going to use an open drasha to tell you something about Kachim, because Shekain Simon Panak Akas. This is a Simon, the way to remember it. The mnemonic is Panak Akas, which is the following. Pigal Nosar Korban. That we have all these chumras by Kachim. The first is pigel. Pigel is if a person thinks that he's going to eat a korban, let's say that you're only allowed to eat it for one day, and you think, you know what, I'm going to eat it tomorrow, it's more convenient for me. So there's an iser kares to eat it, and it becomes an iser d'oraisa to eat it, and iser kares. No, sir, if I leave it over for the next day, but Korban Pesach, let's say, you leave it over that night, and you wait till the next day, you want to eat it the next day, you have a chiyuv to burn it. So there's an Isser Daraisa to do that. Korban, the fact that you have to designate it as a korban, Rashi says, that's what korban is. Me'ila, the fact that you can have, it's an usher to benefit from things that are consecrated to the base of Migdash. So Rashi just says that there's a chiluk between kachim and kachim kalim. When it comes to kachim kalim, kachim kachim we'll start with, right? Kachim kachim, which is the more holy, right? The more chomer ones, like ola, chatas, and asham. Those, Rashi says, there's me'ila before you do zrika, before you sprinkle it. However, after you sprinkle, according to the Gemara's whole thing in Drashas, we'll learn it out. After zrika, you would not be havel chayev in me'ila. And kachim kalim, there'd be me'ila in the emureim, Rashi says, in the emureim, which are the, right? The insides of the animal. They have to be burned on the Mizbeach. At that point, you'd be chayv me'ila. Either way, so there's me'ila in the korbanos also of kachim, obviously, and also in things designated for the base of Migdash. And kares, a person who eats, if someone eats, if he's tame, and he eats kachim, he's going to be chayv kares. So kares is a premature death, and also you're not going to have children. You're also going to be ariri, you're not going to have any children. That's the punishment of kares. And also aser, it's aser, la'onin. Aser la'onin, it's going to be aser for an onin. Onin is someone, rachmana letzlan, is in the first stage of mourning where the person, he has a relative, one of the Zion Krovim, his Salman relatives, right? Father, mother, brother, sister, son, daughter, and wife. Okay, those are the Zion Krovim. So for those, anyone who has rachmana letzlan, one of those dies, he is aser from eating any korbanos. However, he's allowed to eat truma. The Gemara in Rambam Rashi points that learns that. Okay, these are the chumras. So the Gemara says Adraba, the truma labatina. The truma has reasons to not be excluded because truma is more machmir than kachim in the following regards. Shekein machpaz siman. That's mnemonic to remember it. Machpaz. What is that? Misa. The person chayav misa b'dei shemayim if he eats truma of a kohen. If a non kohen eats it, he's chayav misa b'dei shemayim. And also, then we also have chomesh. If he has to pay an additional fifth, he accidentally eats truma, he pays a chomesh. It's also a fifth of the entire total, which is really a fourth. Okay? So what we would call a fourth. The fifth, it comes out as a fifth as the whole thing. Okay? So that's what you have to pay. You don't have that penalty by kachim. Ve'en la pidyon. And also, there is no redemption. If it becomes tameh or anything like that, there's no way to get rid of it. It's stuck. It's just truma tameh. However, in a case, when Rashi says, when it comes to korban, it can become, you have a pidyon. How do you have a pidyon with the korban? If it becomes a mum, if it becomes a blemish, then you can be pode, vasur lezarim, and it's also usur for non-Kohanim ever to partake in it. When it comes to kachim, though, when it comes to like a shlamim or a toda or a maaser behema, so all those examples, you're allowed, a zar, someone who is non-Kohen, can eat any of those karbanos. He gets a chelek, he gets a portion of those karbanos, so a non-Kohen, the Israel, would be allowed to eat any of those. So the Gemara says, at the end of the day, Hanach Levishon, though, we had 6 versus 4. We only had 4 chumras by truma and 6 chumras by kachim, so therefore it makes sense to learn that this pasuk is going on truma and not on kachim, and that is, again, that you're allowed to burn truma and not learn and not burn kachim and have benefit from it. You could say that kodesh, that when it comes to consecrated items, they're more fundamentally more machmir. Why? Because the person who tummy eats them is punished by kares, which is twofold, Rashi says. It's twofold, is that you die early and you also don't have children. As opposed to just dying early with misa b'di shemayim, that's clearly much more machmir. So that's where it comes from here. So the Gemara now says maybe there's a real source for this. The Gemara says, "Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Kra." The pasuk says, "Titen lo," that the first of your grain, wine, oil, you should give to him. You should give to the kohen. So the Gemara has drashna lo v'lo l'uro. It should be given to him and not to his fire. The kohen should eat it. He should give it. It shouldn't be something that he has to burn. So that implies that you should give him something that's tahor, not something that's tummy. If you give him something that's tummy, then he's going to have to burn it. Okay, but what do we learn agav that? We learn just from that, we learn mechal devas uro, that in a situation where the truma is in fact tummy, you're allowed to burn it, and seemingly he's allowed to have benefit from that burning as well. Okay, we're going back now to the Mishnah. The Mishnah quotes Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, Rabbi Yishmael says, Rabbi Yishmael Oimer, that you can't use itran because it's not kavod Shabbos. Gemara says, "My time. What's the reason you can't use itran?" Amarava mitol shereichol rag zereshem yenechenav yetsa. That itran has a bad smell, so he's going to leave the room and it's not going to be kavod Shabbos for him. Amarle abaye veyetsa. So what's so bad? Let him leave. Amarle shani omer lakas nerchova. No, because lighting the Shabbos lights is an obligation, and therefore Therefore, you need to have a benefit from that. The benefit from the lakes. Lighting the Shabbos candles on Friday night before Shabbos starts is an obligation. And what is the reason? There's a shayla. Rashi says it's chavod because the suda is not as chashuv unless there's nice lights to it. And Tosu seem to imply that the Makom Suda is Mamash Achova, Daf could have it in there. So it's an important point to note that the Iker place for a person to be lighting his Shabbos candles is where he will be eating, in his dining room table, wherever it is, to have the candles over there. It really is not supposed to be anywhere else. A big shaila about why it's mutter to light anywhere else, especially in hotels and things like that. Okay, there's a terim, but just to point out, the Iker lighting, clearly everyone agrees the Iker point, the main place to be lighting is in the dining room where you're going to be eating. The Gemara now says, again, halakha Shabbos is chova, and rechita zidam reglem b'charvis is resus. And however, taking a shower every Shabbos is optional. V'anu mitzvah, and I, Rav Nachman, saying, I hold it's a mitzvah. So Gemara says, my mitzvah, what's the nature of this mitzvah? D'amavid amarav, kachem enagol shabbi yudah bar ilai. Got it from Rabbi Yehuda bar Ilai, who used to do the following. Every Shabbos, mavin lo arevim le'a chamin, they used to bring him a hot tub of warm water. V'rochitz panim v'drachav, you'd wash his face, hands, and feet, and he would wrap himself, and he would sit with these linen cloak, and it was, Rashi points out, it was made of flax, and he attached tzitzis to it. So it's going to be important to note why I'm mentioning this, because you can have the mixture of wool dyed with the tcheles, and then you have the flax over here, that is going to be the Isser of Shatnez, that we're going to be discussing in a moment. And he resembled an angel of Hashem. And his talmidim, right, his disciples, they would conceal it from the corners of their garments. They wouldn't put it out like he did. They wore linen cloaks, but they didn't attach tzitzis to their garments, so they didn't want Rabbi Yehuda to see this. So Amar Lahem, he eventually figured out what was going on. He said, "B'nei lokach shnislachem, I taught you my talmidim, my dear students." That Beit Shammai says that it's pater because they're not Doris Smuchen and they hold that there is no concept of Ese Dochelos Ese. You're not allowed to have Kalayim with Tzitzis. You're not allowed to Isser Kalayim is have wool and linen together. So here would be an Isser Deraisa of wool and linen tying it together would be the Isser Deraisa. So Beit Shammai doesn't learn the Smuchen. They don't have the drush of Ese Dochelos Ese. However, Beis Hillel learned that it's Mutter of Halachi Beis Hillel. They hold that Ese Dochelos Ese. That it says, Kedilim Tasalacha, Arbakan Fusesecha, and Losilbash Kalayim are together. The Gemara Beis Hillel has a drush that since they're mentioned together, it's telling you that you can put on tzitzis even on a beged of kelayim. So the Gemara says it's right. If the halacha follows Beis Hillel, then why did the Talmidim, why did his students disagree with him? Why didn't they put tzitzis on their garments that had the flax on it? So the Gemara says, "Vinu sarvik zer mushum ksus laila." No, they held that even according to Beis Hillel, there's a rabbinic enactment. You're not allowed to wear it because of a night garment. If you have a garment that's designated for nighttime use, it's pater from tzitzis because the pasuk says, "Reisim so proslis ksus laila," that you have to see it. So you know, if it's a beggar that you wear dafka at nighttime, then you are not seeing it. So it's not, you don't have to wear tzitzis. So if you have this type of beged, a person has this type of garment, he's going to make a mistake and think that he could put on the tzitzis, and it's not really chayav in tzitzis, which normally wouldn't be a problem, and here you have the Isser Deraisa of Kalayim. So there's not being any mitzvah doing docha the lav, and the guy is just doing the Isser Deraisa of Kalayim, so therefore we made a low plug, we made a no distinction, and every single beged that has the flax, we're going to make a gzera d'rabanan that you don't wear the four cornered garments. So the Gemara in Yevamos asks this famous kasha: is that how could Beis Din make oker davar min haTorah? So this is the famous answer over the Gemara says. B'shev al taisa shani Rashi quotes that was the Gemara over there that when it comes to stopping you from doing a mitzvah, they have the right to do that. Many examples: shofar on Shabbos, things like that; lulav on the first day of Shabbos. All those examples where they're preventing you from doing an isser, they're afraid of you will do an isser, even if you're not necessarily going to do this, or if you might do the isser, they're allowed to prevent you from doing that. They can tell you to stop doing a mitzvah. So now the Gemara goes back to the idea of lighting candles. The Gemara quotes a pasuk, but tiznach mashal nashi na shisi tova. The pasuk is talking about Yirmiyahu in the end of the Beis Hamikdash, the first Beis Hamikdash. He was saying that his soul is so despaired of having any menucha, having any peace in his mind, and he's forgotten what good is like. So the Gemara says, "Ma'ivat tiznach mashal nashi." What does it mean that he despaired any having peace? So what is this peace over here? Amar Rabbi Bo Zod Lakas Ner Shabbos. That this is a reference to having Ner Shabbos when you bring in Shabbos with the light. That is shalom. Shalom bayis. That is the idea of having shalom bayis. Having light in the house, you're going to have shalom bayis. They didn't have enough money to even afford the basic necessity of a candle and a wick. That's so cheap. They couldn't even afford that. Now, sheisi tova, what is that? I forgot what goodness is. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu Zobis Amerchatz. That is having a bathhouse. That is generally giving a person clean. It feels good. So Bachas of over here that the girsa should be, the correct girsa is Amar Reb Chiya Bar Abba Amar Biyochanan. He says over here, Zorachit is Adayim Raglayim Bechamin. That having good over here is washing your hands and feet in warm water. That's what it means to feel good. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka says, Omita Na Vekilim Naim Shaleah. Having a nice bed and nice clothing that are upon it, that's what good is over here. These are luxuries that defend good. Okay, Rabbi Abba Amar Zomita Mutas V'isha Mekushas Saladin Chamin. No, this refers to a bed maid and a wife who is shayach, who could be shayach to Tamid and Chachamim. She adorns herself at Tamid and Chachamim. Is that taken literally or not? Okay, I know a phronim that some say maybe it's a guzman, it's just the idea that she'd be able to be roe to be married to a Talmud Chacham. But that's what good is. Tanur Abanan, Ezu Ashers. Now we mention that. What's goodness? What's wealth? What does it really mean to be wealthy in life? So it says the Gemara right now, Kol Sheyesh Onachas Ruach Ba'osh, I know it takes pleasure in his wealth. So similar to the Pirkei Avos, Shemeach B'chelko, someone who's happy with what he has. Over here also, you take pleasure with what Hashem gives you is a very big thing. Whatever Hashem gives you, take it and be happy with it. Divrei Meir, that's what Rebbe Meir says. Simen Matkas, that's the name of the Tanaim that I mentioned, of Rebbe Meir, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva, Zakuf, and the Samech is Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Tarfon says, Kol Sheyesh L'meach Kramim, anyone who has 100 vineyards, Zemeach Sados, Zemeach Avadim, Shodaman, and also 100 fields, 100 servants who are working in those fields. So the, just a nice pshat that Marsha has. Marsha says that the, in general, people are motivated to have wealth for three basic ideas. Why? One is to have honor, and that's what it makes it. B is to provide generously for generally usually one's wife, maybe also for sometimes his children, or to have money unless Chas V'Shalom gets sick or he needs it in a dire situation. So that's why he keeps his money. So the Gemara says over here that they're addressing each one of those. Rabbi Tarfon is saying the first one. He's saying that it's containing honor. That's what basic number of honor. That's what you need. Rabbi Kiva says, Kol Sheyesh Lo Ishanah B'Maisim. Anyone has a wife is beautiful in her maisim, in her deeds. So with the Marsha it works very nicely that anyone who you can provide for happily and she's happily what she's getting and she's beautiful with her maisim, then that's the best thing anyone could ask for. Then he's very rich. Rabbi Yossi, all tell your wives that you're very rich and they'll like this idea. Quote Rabbi Akiva over here that they're very rich because you're zochah to have your wife. It's a good shalom bias line over here. Rabbi Yossi Omer Kol Sheyesh Lo Beis Akisa Samech Lo Shana Chano. Rabbi Yossi says anyone who has a bathroom near his table, seemingly this is the health aspect according to the Marsha. That if it's extremely healthy, but Marsha says over there before, the person who has a bathroom anywhere he goes, then it's very healthy for him. So that also is referring to the health. So the word now says, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Eman Likim et Sarah. Someone is now going back to the what's usher to use as a fuel agent for the lighting of the candles. The Gemara says, you're not allowed to use balsam. The Gemara asks, why not? My time up. So the Gemara, Rabbi Mitoch Shereicha Nodef, it has amazing smell. The rabbis are afraid you're going to come close to it to try to add to it because it smells so amazing. You're going to forget about it and go and add to the fire. Add to the fire over here. And that would be an Isser Deraisa of adding to the fire of Ma'avir. So the Gemara says, Amar Alei Abaya says, but wait a second, Limar Bnei Shu'af, maybe it's also because it's very easy to evaporate and you're afraid you're going to add more fire to it because of that reasoning. So the Gemara says, Chadavod Kumar, you're right, Chadav Shu'af, you're right, it's very easy for it to become, to evaporate and then you're going to add more fire. That's the first reason. And the second one is you're going to add to it because you love it so much, so that they're both two reasoning of why it's usher to use this balsam oil. So Gemara now just mentions Agav, that another story over here. There was a certain mother-in-law who hated her daughter-in-law so much. The following is a terrible story. She said to her, go adorn yourself with some nice balsam oil. So she did. She did adorn herself with this oil. She said, go back and light a fire. Go light the candle over there, the fire over there. Az lasa shraga, she went to let the light. The fire went into the top of her head and she was burnt. Okay. That is pretty sad over there. Okay, we'll stop over here. Mirtz Hashem. Shakach.